Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, November 18th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 59. Beginning with step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs, and ending with step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Today's readers are Susan G., the 12 steps, Stephanie R., the 12 traditions, and our big book readers are Tamara C. in the text, Craig F. on page 164, and Chanel T. as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Suzanne W., and our second hour moderator is A. The share ID for Sunday, November 17th, 2024, is 21,920. That's 21,920. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, it's Susan G. The 12 steps are, step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me give service, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, family. This is Stephanie R., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Number 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. The group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 59. Beginning with step 5, admitted to God, and ending with step 6, defects of character. I will now ask Tamara C. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater living in Missouri. Okay, here we go. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I like that these two are being studied together this morning, 5 and 6. When I was reflecting on these, at first I thought, I'm not sure if those go together. Shouldn't it be 4 and 5 and then 6 and 7? But I can see how 5 and 6 actually are really important to each other. And so these first three words, admitted to God, I really paused and thought what that means to me. And it means a lot to me because I believed growing up and in my younger years that like God is all-knowing and God knows every secret about me, but I didn't feel safe like having a conversation with God about it. I didn't want to even admit it to myself, let alone to God. I thought that God was scary and I needed to be very careful and watch my behavior and my character defects so that I could earn God's approval. And going through the steps, I learned instead that God wanted me to say, you know, I know, I see it all. Let's talk about it. Bring it into the light. I want you to hear my gentle, accepting voice as you're telling me, you know, all of the fears, all of the old patterns, the selfishness and self-seeking behaviors, all the harm and the shame and the guilt. Just bring it to me so that you can hear me say, you know, you asked for my care and protection and I've got you. And and before I got here, I had done the third step prayer where I asked God to build with me and do with me as you will. And so this step 5, where I'm sharing this with myself, with God, with another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, it's God's way of building with me. I wanted God to like just take away all my defects of character and just let me be perfect. But that's not the way of my higher power. My higher power's way is, let me show you. Go talk to a recovered person. And today, I get to do this every day with, in my 10 steps, I reach out to recovered fellows and share my truths about myself. And God uses this process to then move me into step 6, where I'm willing to have my higher power remove it all, remove these things that are being shown to me. And it helps me to reflect on, you know, what did I see? What were the selfishness, fear, dishonesty, self-seeking, the harm, and just give it all to my higher power and be willing to have it be removed. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Tamara, for getting us started. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Harlan G.
Larry K.
Rachel K.
Sigrid F.
Rachel K.
Okay.
Tony B.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Joelle B.
So I've got Harlan G., Larry K., Rachel K., and if you gave me your name once already, please let me know who I just missed there.
Sigrid F.
Sigrid? How do you spell Sigrid?
S is in Joelle B. I-G-R-I-C, like David.
I'm sorry, Joelle somebody. Yeah, oh, I got you, Joelle. I'm trying to, Sigrid, could you let me know what your how to spell your name again, please.
J O E L L E. The name is I got you. Sigrid. S is in Sam. I G R I B like David. And then my initial is F like Frank.
All right, thank you. All right, so I've got Sigrid F and Joelle, I think it was B that was on there, and then who else?
Yes.
Craig, yes.
Got
Tony
you, Craig.
B, Scotland.
Donna K, Ohio.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good lineup for right now. I've got Harlan
Tony
G,
B,
Larry
Scotland.
K. Was that Toby? Who is from Scotland?
Tony B, Scotland.
Yeah,
Tony
I've got
B.
you on there, Toby. Yeah, I've got
T-O-N-I.
You. T-O-N-I. T-O-N-I.
Lovely.
I got you. All right. So I've got Harlan G., Larry K., Rachel K., Sigrid F., I think it was Joel B., Craig F., Tony B., and Donna K. So if I got something wrong in your name, just, you know, you'll correct me when you introduce yourselves, and then please remember to include where you're calling from when you do. So, Harlan G is going to kick us off, followed by Larry K.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. A very, very smart lady once said to me not long ago that an unexamined life is not worth living. When I was a little boy, I believed that the way I thought about food, the way I feared people, the way I lived my life in a dysfunctional manner was normal, because it was the only way I knew to think and the only way I knew to live. And I believed that these desires for food and these fears that I had, they were secret unto me. I believed that they were normal because that's all I knew. But they were secret unto me. I never discussed them with anybody. I didn't dare. Step 5 and 9 to me are the great emancipators. And the reason that they are the great emancipators is because 5 and 9 set me free to be one of many. I have an ego that says I am either better than you or I am worse than you. But my ego never allows me to be equal to you, to look you in the eye. And when I did fifth steps with other people, I was the sponsor, they were the sponsee, or I was the sponsee, they were the sponsor. What I found out was unbelievably game-changing. What I found out is that these fears, these insecurities, are not secret unto me. They are absolutely government issue. They are absolutely the way we tick most of the time. And it made me feel less persecuted by God, less alienated by the world, and more a part of the world rather than apart from the world. So in step five, in learning about you, I get an encyclopedic insight into who I am. There are only two permanent relationships in the world. The one I have with God and the one I have with myself. Now, if you don't want to say God and you want to say nature or a power greater than yourself or whatever, that's fine, because that's all okay. It's fine. But the relationship I have with myself is the only one that will follow me from birth to death. So I might as well learn about who I am. And the most effective way for me to learn who I am is to learn about who you are, so I, in my mind, can say, yes, I'm like that too. And the most enlightening journey I've ever had in my life is the journey of self-discovery. And the only way I get to self-discovery is to learn about you. And that is what teaches about me through reflection.
Just a reminder.
That, all right, Rick, I'll shut up. I get it. All right, thanks. Thanks for your service, Rick. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks so much, Harlan. And Larry K, you are up next and followed by Rachel K. Good morning, Larry. Larry, go ahead and hit star one, brother.
Oh, there we go, Rick. Good morning. Thanks for your service, Rick. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Chicago. So, yeah, the fifth step, you know, there was a common misconception about the fifth step that was already addressed, is that you don't have to share your secrets and your wrongdoings with another person, that it's, you know, maybe it's just enough to admit these things to your higher power and yourself. And I have to remember that I'm building what I believe to be a very sacred and divine spiritual skill set by admitting these things to God, to myself, and one other human being. And here's some things that I did that ensured that I would not have an effective spiritual awakening that would eradicate this disease. And first, you know, I need to know that if there's a name for something you've done, you didn't invent it. Okay, so if there's a name for it, you know, we think we're terminally unique. You did not invent it. You're not quite as important, Larry, as you are unique as you think you are. And what I did is, I guess I misread the step, because I certainly shared the exact nature of their wrongs when it came to resentments. I was really good at that, you know. But how about the exact nature of my wrongs, which leads me to the idea that I was very, one of the misconceptions and one of the things I did is I was very vague. The more shameful the thing that I felt that I had done, the more vague, you know. And also I would share a little bit, say, with Rick, and I'd share a little bit with Harlan, and maybe something that might be, I perceived to be palatable to, you know, to this one and that one. But, you know, no one person got the entire story. You see, I was already manipulating and even pursuing this, and there was this idea of sharing the exact nature of my wrongs. And I held on to some of the worst items in stock. Again, the more shameful it was, the more I held on to those things, and I thought, I know where you're going with this. You know, I'm eventually going to have to make amends for these things. So if I don't, if it doesn't make it to my four-step list, and I don't give it away with the fifth, or I'm extremely vague about it, you know, I'm not going to have to make amends for it. And this ensured that I would stay stuck in the quicksand of the disease. So I think, you know, for me, I really had to read these instructions, understand that it's the simplicity, the beauty in doing this, and we get better at it over time. That's a truck just coming right by me here. So, Rick, that's me, and that's a good sign for me to pass with that. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Illinois. All right, Rachel K., you're up next, followed by Sigrid F. Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. And this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater in the great state of Indiana. And yeah, I love what everybody has shared so far. And it strikes me that these two steps both contain paradoxes. And, you know, what's a paradox? It's like a seeming contradiction that's like not really ends up not really being a contradiction. So in step five, it uses the words. And I believe that the words in the big book were divinely inspired and that each word was chosen, you know, like inspired by God, written down by Bill W. for a specific, like very specifically. So in step five, it says the exact nature. And those two words seem to sort of contradict each other. Like exact is like, you know, exact, the not generalized, but exact. But then it talks about the nature of our wrongs. Like not, it doesn't say our exact wrongs, the exact nature. Like what are the categories that these fall under? To me, the categories are, you know, our character defects, which are four of them: selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear. So, like, I need to be completely honest about them. But is it important that I get down, you know, on paper that, you know, it was my aunt who, you know, I upset with what I said, not the aunt in Miami, but the aunt in California who has the heart condition, who lost to that. No, like, you know, thank you for sharing. But I don't, when somebody shares that with me or when I share, you know, a 10th step or a fourth and fifth step with somebody else, I don't need to get into that level of detail. It may seem really germane to the story, but actually it's not. I need to get to the nature of my wrongs, my part. Where was I selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid? Because the whole purpose of this is to see patterns, to see that really, even though our, you know, our inventories are all very varied and different, you know, they all kind of fall under these categories. There are these certain patterns within me and between us as compulsive overeaters in fellowship. And then in step six, there's another seeming paradox where it's very passive. Like, this is a very passive looking step. We're entirely ready. Like, we're ready. That's passive voice for you grammar nerds like me out there. I was ready. But it's actually a very, it's an action step. Like when you get ready to go on a journey, and thank you, I think Harlan talked about, sorry for the crosstalk, but talked about, you know, a journey. When I get ready to go on a journey, I'm super busy. Like I'm packing, I am making sure that I've got everything I need. I'm checking, you know, my flight status, I'm buying the ticket, whatever. I'm doing a whole lot of stuff to get ready to go on this journey. And when I get ready to go on this spiritual journey, God, oh, thanks. Removing my character defects, then, you know, I'm taking contrary action to those defects. Anyway, I'm out of time, so I'll shut up. But anyway, I pass.
Well, thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. By Joel B. Go ahead, Sigrid.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sigrid F., recovered in South Florida today. And, you know, steps five and six, you know, funny, I also wasn't like, wow, really? We're going to put those two together. But then as I started to think about it, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, they do go together. Step five, you know, just backing up for 1 second, step four for me was relieving. It wasn't frightening. like other people say, it was relieving that I could write all these things down. Step five was terrifying, that I would have to tell somebody about all these things that I had done or been engaged in or got the ball rolling, whatever it was, the embarrassing, the more, you know, the, I don't know, it felt huge to me. And shaking, I did it. You know, God gave me the courage and I did it. And I got through the whole thing. And basically the other person said, okay, let's start pulling together, you know, what kinds of things you should be looking at. And it just blew me away. There was no judgment. There was no, you know, God didn't come down and strike bolts of lightning. I seriously, those were the kinds of fears I was entertaining when I was doing my fifth step. And then to get to my fifth step, I had to do a fifth step. My sixth step, I needed to really understand the things and have somebody else's input into some of these circumstances to help me see where I was being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, or fearful. You know, it was very difficult for me, particularly in the beginning. And that's something that through program and through time, I think you get good at. It's like when you practice anything, you start getting good at it and seeing those defects. So they really do go together. Because for me, I needed that other person to help me. I still, you know, over time, every time I do a 4 through 9 or a 10, I still often need the other person to say, Sigrid, look at this, look at that, shine a light here, shine a light there. And it's just so helpful to help clean myself, right? And God, you know, when you admit something to God, I think you're also finally admitting it to yourself. You can't hide from it anymore if you admit it to God. So that's what I had to say today. Thanks for letting me share. Hope you all have a blessed day. I pass.
Thank you, Sigrid F. from Florida. Joelle B., you're up next, followed by Craig F. Go ahead, Joelle.
Hello, this is Joelle B. from Illinois. And I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugarholic. And when I read this, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, I didn't know that God was part of this. I did not know that God was part of my sick recovery and the answer to my sickness. And I really felt angry at many people. And to another human being, I didn't think I was wrong at all. Everybody was wrong to me, making fun of me all my life. And when I read this step the first time, I thought something was, there was a mistake somewhere. What did they mean, admitted to God and other people about the wrongs I had done? I was never wrong. Everybody was wrong to me, I felt. So learning about step 5 and 6, I was very happy that there was an answer, that I felt much better once I admitted to God and have God remove all these defects of character. And I didn't know I had a bad character, but I sure did. And I'm very happy that I'm here and learning day by day how to recover from this addiction. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you for having me admit my wrongs. And I thank you. With that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Joel B. from Illinois. All right, Craig F., you're up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Craig.
All right, this is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thanks, Rick, for your service this morning. Thanks for all these wonderful shares we've had this morning. I am always impressed by the way these steps all work together. They form a tapestry, interwoven. Like, it's easy. It was easy when I first read the steps to just see that each one built on the one before it. And so you had, 12 steps. But as time goes on, I come to understand that these steps are all intertwined, and that to truly understand the step, to truly take the step in, each step has to be interpreted in the light of all the other steps. And as an example, this step 5 and 6 together, it is a fulfillment of our understanding of step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And so in step 5, we admitted to God and ourselves and another human being the exact nature of our wrong. And in 6, it changes the words from the nature of our wrongs to having God remove all of these defects of character. Well, that's God restoring me to sanity. If he's removing my defects of character, he's restoring me to sanity. So I came to believe that in 2, and I accepted it in 2. And here in 6, we're entirely ready for that to come to fruition. And, I like it that in 5, it calls it the nature of our wrongs. And at 6, it calls it defects of character. And essentially, it's the same thing. The nature of my wrongs is my defects of character. I'm not asking God here at this point to remove my wrongs. I'm asking him to remove my defects of character. And those defects of character are the things that cause me to do harm to other people, that cause me to have resentments, that cause me to have fears, that cause me to harm people, and that we talked about in step 4. And so it all weaves together. And I could go on all day, but it all weaves together into this tapestry of the steps. And builds on one another, and I just love seeing that and feeling that and experiencing that in my life. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
All right, perfect timing, Craig F. from Oklahoma. Thank you, brother. All right, Tony B. from Scotland, you're up next, followed by Donna K. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And yeah, I turned to Bill's story. I kind of thought, how did he do this? And I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. So that's 3, really. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. So God is so key here. He's got to be there. And then ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend, God, because it's capitalized, not Ebby, take them away, root and branch. I've not had a drink since. My schoolmate visited me and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. There we are, step 5. And it doesn't seem, it seems quite simple. But when I remember my first step 5, oh, goodness, there was so much on there, and I was so in turmoil, kind of emotional turmoil, and just sort of not well mentally. I probably hadn't really brought God in, and there was a lot of crying, and I told her a lot of things, and there was some relief, but I didn't continue this process, and I relapsed. And it's taken a few more step 5s. And this last time I did it, it felt quite different. It was what was going on now for me. God was in the picture. And she, as people have said on this line already, she helped me to pull out the patterns of these character defects And I just focused on where had I been selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. And I spent that hour quietly and sitting in meditation with my mind going over these patterns. And I kept in mind, you know, I'm willing to have God remove these. I'm willing to have you remove these, God. And then I continued. And I think that's been the difference in my recovery for this last year and a half. It's been that I've been entirely abstinent. And it's been the continuation of sharing myself with other people and allowing people to share themselves with me, and knowing that God can restore me to sanity, and asking him to restore me to sanity, and hearing other people asking God to please remove their defects and have him direct their attention to what they'd have them be, over and over, and it becomes a working part of my life. And it's so connecting, and it's so important. And with that, I'll share the time. Thank you, Rick.
Right on the money. Thanks so much, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, Donna K., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. Hi, Donna K. from Ohio. Well, I'm about 14 days in, okay, of sobriety, and I'm really grateful. These steps are just the very ones that I'm hanging on. I've been in program a while, actually, a long time, but I'm using step five. It looks like a more longer version of step 10 to me at this time of my program. I brought my higher power in and prayed about a resentment. And I'm really, you know, I'm ready and to myself, but I had to burn some steam off first. You know, I can't go flying, you know, through it as if I'm on a snow hill, you know, skiing down or something, you know. I had to take the time, and I took the time, and now my amends is very clear, you know, as to what I need to do. But I also got down to why for me, and I appreciate having me admitted to God first, that's one, then to ourselves, that's two, and then to another human being, exact nature. I have to keep it simple. I really do. My food's been down for the last, you know, 2 weeks now, and I'm pretty raw. So the slowed down pace has been, I'm grateful for with my new sponsor. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I look forward to hear what everyone else has got to give. Thanks.
All right, Donna K. from Ohio. Thank you. Welcome back. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we're in the chapter How It Works on page 59. We're reading steps 5 and 6, admitted to God through defects of character. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. And please give me your name, first initial, to get on the share list. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Kelly
Chanel
H.
Washington-Page.
Didn't get Kelly anything. H. I'm so sorry.
Chanel T. Washington State.
Kelly
Chanel
H. North Carolina.
Kelly H. Who
was
that for Kelly?
Janice P.M., Massachusetts.
Got you, Janice.
Thank you.
I've got Chanel T. I can't read my own writing. Oh, I think it was Kelly, Kelly H and Janice PM. And that's all I've got so far. So if you've
Lee
already
H.
given me your name and I didn't call it out, go ahead and please give it to me now.
Lee H.
Lee. All right, Lee. Gotcha. All right. Who else would like to share?
Lisa B.T.
All right, Lisa. All right, I'm going to hold off right there, and we'll see where our time lands us. So I've got Chanel T., Kelly H., Janice P.M., Lee H., Lisa B.T. Chanel T., you're up now, followed by Kelly H., and please include where you're calling from when you introduce yourselves. Go ahead, Chanel.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful compulsive eater, gratefully in recovery today by the grace of God. So do you remember the show Hoarders? I don't know if it's still on, but people have such extreme amounts of clutter that they can't move about their own homes. They have so much gunking me up with resentments, fears, harms I've done, and I'm trying to just suppress with all the food and food behaviors. I can't move about my own life. I can't move about my own spiritual anything. Just clogged and trapped in it. So in 4, I took an inventory of all that, of all of that, all of it. And they say fearlessly, well, I don't think I've been fearless, but I've been courageous. Now I go to 5 where, oh, okay, I've dug into all of this stuff, and now I've got to share it with someone, really? I've got to show it to somebody. Wow, okay, and I've got to talk with God about it too. I've got to show it to God too, admit it to ourselves, to God, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Great. Okay. Here's all the gunk. Here's all the clutter. Here's all the stuff I've been holding on to for, in some cases, decades, that is part of the reason I eat. And now I'm bringing it into the light. Why? Why would I do that? Okay, that's done. All right, I did it. Great. Now I'm going to get all the promises. No, it's still there. It's still gunking me up. I've got to, you know, it's trapping me in my own clutter of everything that's a negative feeling, that's a reason for me to have shame and self-loathing. It's not just the food that does that. The food's been my solution to that. If I want another solution, which is unencumbered relationship with God, myself, and other human beings, then I've got to admit the nature of my wrongs, and now I've got to become willing for God to remove all of that. And I don't know about anyone else here, but for me, in some ways, 6 was really hard. And it's ongoing, right? 6 and 7 are ongoing. It's layer after layer as I continue to work the steps in recovery. But getting there and getting through all this stuff I've been hoarding, not easy. Not easy. Simple. But not easy at all. But I had to do it. I had to get humble, and I have to again and again, because it's the way to the light. I've been blocking the windows of my soul with all this clutter. I've been blocking the windows. Thank you for letting the light in, and recovery lets the light in, so it's worth it. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Chanel T. from the state of Washington. Kelly H., you are up next, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Kelly.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater, also having completed 14 days and coming back from a relapse of 3 years. This step is kind of blowing my mind a little bit, and the shares have been amazing. The first time I went through these steps in 2020, I had all the pain, all the embarrassment, and the lack. I mean, I absolutely owned my powerlessness and had an amazing 14 months in recovery, and then 3 years. And actually, part of that 14 months was, I guess, me losing. I wasn't enriching or growing my spiritual journey. I had sort of pulled back some of the defects of character and started thinking, well, maybe I need to be in control of my time. So I guess losing a sponsor and dropping some of my sponsees might be better for the new thing that I think, you know, that I was involved in. And then it was, well, maybe I'll pull back a little bit more of the thought I have control over this. So I'll stay up till 2 or 3 writing papers for a new graduate program I was in. So I won't be properly rested. So the next morning, I won't have time for that morning review, and so on and so forth. So owning that is kind of humbling. It wasn't 14 months, was it? It was, I lost a lot of ground. So 3 years of wasteland and now 14 days of abstinence. And the thought I had this morning with some of our shares is that this is not a catwalk. Step 5, there's no catwalk whatsoever in my 12-step program where I'm going to be asked at any point to strut my stuff in an outfit of my own making or to wear the emperor's new clothes. I am not going to walk up into the jeering of the outside world who are going to jeer and jab at my outfit and publicize it and say all kinds of horrible things about it. This is a private affair, and I am absolutely going to be okay in that privacy with the tailor who has all my numbers, my sponsor. I have a great new sponsor, and there's privacy there to handle the stuff of this life for me anyways. And I don't have to fear it, but I'm looking forward to getting there, and I don't have to rush there. I could be quite, I'm...
Get to a reminder?
Anyways, I'm grateful for the place I'm in and for all of the shares this morning. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Janice PM, you're up next, followed by Lee H. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, and everyone. Nice to hear everybody. Janice PM, recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Okay, now at this point, you know, in our step work, you know, I've written my story. You know, I've written my, I didn't write a story. I just read, you know, follow the book. And my the exact nature, that's the fourth column. That's what we're looking at now. What I looked at was our exact nature of my behaviors, my brokenness, you know, my beliefs, my values, my shame. Oh, boy, my shame. My secrets. And, you know, I was one of those compulsive overeaters that I'll go through these steps, but I'll never release this secret that I had because I'd be too shameful. What will anybody think of me? I didn't know that this was the first time, and I didn't, and believe you me, I went through the steps keeping this secret, and guess what? You know, page 25, the self-searching, you know, and it says that this is on 75, it's a life and death errand. I said, oh, no, that's, you know, I took what I liked. No, it's not a death and life. Yeah, it is, because I never changed. I never changed. I got worse holding on to this secret. There was no freedom. I wasn't closer to my higher power, but when I did this step, this particular step, was the first time in my life that trust came into my life. I trusted that my sponsor, who I gave my fifth step to, you know, it was the time for full disclosure. It was like, you know, it says something I read that we stand naked before God and another person. And you know what an experience, a real intimacy. Was it easy? No, but of course you'll find out, you know, that maybe they did it too, whatever I did, and a price had to be paid. Destruction of self-centeredness. And boy, what a freedom I had. And you know, you don't have to be, I don't have to be afraid to tell somebody my faults in step five, because I know I can abandon them. I won't have any fear to abandon them in step six. What a revelation. Okay, I know what I did. Now I'm going to be willing, you know, to have God remove this thing that was a thorn in my side. And it happened.
Just a reminder.
And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Lee H., you're up next, followed by Lisa BT. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you so much, Rick. And this is Lee H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and I haven't talked in a while, and so I just need to use my mouth. I've loved the share so far, and I was just looking at the list here, and we're kind of right smack in the middle of the list of the steps, and so this is really getting to the heart of my problems, and this is the psychic change. For me, it's beginning to, and I'm going to just top off what the previous share said, that this is really the beginning of me learning how to be intimate, how to be vulnerable, the shedding of my pride by admitting to God and to myself and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. It's a, you know, just a beautiful process, and it's the depth and weight that, you know, I never had. And I was real vague, you know, before I got into the steps and learned exactly what that exact nature of my wrong was. You know, I didn't know that I was dishonest. I didn't know that exaggerating and minimalizing was being dishonest, and being perfectionistic, and just all these things that there were now words to the exact nature. And I love this process. And, you know, then step six is becoming entirely ready to have God remove all of my defects of character. And just this loving sponsorship process, and how there's no judgment in admitting my exact, you know, my wrongs. And then, you know, this whole thing is about getting closer to my higher power, learning how to trust my higher power, and having that sponsor there to put my hand in my higher power's hand is just such a beautiful thing. So I'm going to pass. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thanks so much, Lee H. from Tennessee. Lisa BT, you're up next. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rick. And my name's Lisa BT. I live near Toronto in Canada. I'm so appreciating absolutely everything about the meeting this morning, starting with the reading itself and the lead share, because in my mind, for a long time, I've grouped together 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. And unbeknownst to me, was kind of limiting myself in my understanding of the steps as a whole, because I'd made these little mini groupings. And this morning, what's really coming to the forefront for me is really, I appreciate the work of step two in leading towards you know, where we are now, but also the link between other people and my higher power. I feel somehow in this particular transition, and hearing all the people speak today and hearing the different insights and experiences, it's really made me understand this better. And I've been in program for a really long time, but I don't think I've ever quite had the insight I have had this morning about this grouping, and that there it is, right there on the page, and it's been there all along. So it reminded me of the set-aside prayer. And let me just set aside what I think I know for a new understanding. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. And we're going to go ahead and end the meeting here.
Thank you to everyone who shared. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, November 18th, 2024, is 21,921. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay, still Craig F. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until